Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Tell somebody they look good. Tell them how awesome they are. Speak something encouraging to them. Father, we thank you for this offering. We pray that you would bless it 30, 60, and 100-fold, that your glory would rest over it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen? Amen? Amen. We got people laid out on the ground. Y'all just keep staying laid out. I'm jealous. If I wasn't at work, I'd lay out. Got a couple real quick announcements. You guys feeling okay? Good worship, yeah? I have about 1,000 bunny trails I want to go down this morning. I'm going to avoid most of them. Number one thing I want to announce. Where's my daughter? Did she leave? She'll be back. Okay, that one's gone. I'm going to have to hold on to that one. All right, we'll hold on to that one. We'll call that one later. Tonight, it's Family Fire Night. It's going to be a little different in that I'm going to minister to the leaders, and you can come along. I have a heart. I'm going to minister to the people who serve in this house, but you can come regardless, and you can watch, or you can just get some for yourself. Amen? I don't care who's getting ministry. When I'm there, I'm getting ministry. I was at a, I don't know if I told the story already. I was at a bit of a conference recently, and I was sitting, I think I told this on a Friday night. I was sitting like right over here, right? Y'all following me here? I was sitting like in the third row, maybe the fifth row, right over here. And I saw my friend was over here, and he asked me to come sit with him. So I got up, and I moved over there. And the prophet got up, and the prophet started prophesying over a guy right over here. And I'm like, oh, too bad for him. He's prophesying in the wrong direction. He thought I was still sitting there. I'm over here. And to me, that was my word. And so I told my friend, I was like, man, I was sitting over there. That's my word. He's like, you can take it if you want. I was like, no, he can take it if you want. That's my word. I don't need you to tell me that's my word. That's my word. I'm receiving ministry. You got to lean into that sometimes, amen? Are you with me? Where'd our daughter go, honey? She's serving somewhere? She's out doing things? Okay. She's doing big things. She'll be back eventually. All right, so Family Friday. Second thing. Say second thing. Second thing. FAU. Have you heard of FAU? Has anybody heard of Florida Atlantic University? Anybody heard of it? Yes? It's a large college. How many people go to college? 40,000? Some crazy number. People come to our city every day to learn. We have something to teach, amen? We got something to teach. And it'll do you a whole lot better than whatever it is you went there to learn. And so starting this fall, we're going to start an outreach at FAU. Some of you, your heart is beginning to burn while I'm talking right now, and that's a confirmation of the Holy Spirit that you're supposed to be a part of that. Immediately after service, Diane is going to be at the Next Steps table. Diane is heading it up. She and I are going to be on campus. We're going to do some things. And if you want to be a part of that, we're believing God for administrators, teachers, evangelists, worship leaders. We're just believing God that he's going to add some people to us, both out of this congregation and people who are at FAU. And we're just going to try to set that on fire. And if you want to be a part of that, again, see Diane at the Next Steps table immediately after service. You good with that? Okay, I have to wait on that one still. Okay, so I have a slight teaching on spiritual gift real quick before I get my message. If you're visiting with us today, this might be more germane to you. Near the end of worship, Lillian was on stage and she was praying in the Holy Ghost. Who heard that? She was praying in a tongue that was not English. Did you get that? Did you hear that? Now, some people believe that the scripture clearly teaches that you can't speak in tongues in a public meeting unless there's an interpretation. Who's heard that taught before? Who's heard that taught before? You can't speak in tongues. Now, here's what the scripture actually says. You can't speak to people in tongues without an interpretation in a public service. I can't teach you in a tongue without an interpretation. Why? Because there's no interpretation. Are you with me? If I speak to you in tongues, you don't know what I'm talking about. Nobody's gaining anything except we feel spiritual. You with me? But if I'm not talking to you and I'm talking to God, it's just fine. And so she's up here, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost, building herself up in the most holy faith. And if you didn't understand what she was talking about, that's okay, because she wasn't talking to you. And if you say, well, she shouldn't say anything, I don't understand. Worship does not surround you or me. It's supposed to surround God. And he's the one who has to receive what we're speaking. And so I'd rather me not understand and him understand. But here we're in the teaching part of the service. You should understand what I'm saying. And so I work fairly hard on saying things in a way that I can communicate a message, a revelation. And so I use a language that you'll understand. When I go to Nicaragua or Brazil, I don't speak in English. Or if I do, I bring an interpreter so people can understand what I'm saying. I don't say, well, if you're really spiritual, you'd know English. Would it be sin for me to talk around the people in English? No, but they're not gaining anything from it. You hearing what I'm saying here? And so if I want them to understand, I need an interpreter. Thanks, Kevin. And so she's up here praying in the Holy Ghost, and she didn't need an interpreter because she wasn't talking to you. All right? And last but not least in my list, you guys okay with that? You still love me? Is that okay? Are you still in here? Please close the door, Brandon. Thanks. Yeah, appreciate it. He's back there serving. Just having a good time with the kids. Last thing, my daughter had a birthday this week. This is personal. So if you would stand in a stage, she turned 11 this week. And wish my little girl happy birthday. Wave to the people. Sit down. That's my big cheerleader girl. I would play one of her cheers, but she would kill me. And I wouldn't be invited to another one. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to 1 John. That is not the first John in the Bible. There's an actual book with a one in front of the John. If you don't know where that is, it'll be on the screen momentarily. Family, God is in our midst. And when God is in our midst, many things can happen. We can feel encouraged. We can feel empowered. We can feel victorious. We can feel unstoppable, indefeatable. We can feel on top of the world. We can feel supernatural. We can also feel convicted. We can also feel like we don't have any idea where we're going. We can also feel like our hearts are being ripped out of our chest. Has anybody felt that way? Has anybody felt like, thought I was right with God? But recently, I don't even know if I've been following him at all. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just keep walking with him. It's a fun little season. And here in this season, God is speaking to this house. And many of you are on a journey with me. And in that, expectations are being challenged. Expectations are being challenged, and God is purifying our motives. Because he has a wonderful thing for us, but he doesn't want it to become more important than the wonderful God that he is. And that process is often painful as God purifies our hearts and purifies our motives. And not for nothing, it's often somewhat painful as God heals our hearts so that we can expect his goodness in our lives. I have found that God is a very, very good God. And the more I learn from him, the more gooder I realize he is. As a matter of fact, he just gets gooder and gooder. Now, at the very same time as me recognizing that God is good, my definition of good has been changing. If you've ever said to God, you know, I know you're good, but why aren't you doing this? What does not need to change is God. What does need to change is how you define good. Any parent who has held their child's hand as they're having a fit and not allowed them to run out into traffic, knows that at that moment, the parent's definition of good and the child's definition of good are two very different things. A good parent says, I know what you want to do, and I will not allow you to do it. Because that'll be the last thing you ever do. And there's more good things ahead. And as we find ourselves in prayer saying, God, but why? We need to recognize sometimes we're the child trying to run into traffic. And God is saying, I know it looks fun, but it's that's not going to be fun. That's not going to be nearly as much fun as you think it's going to be. You may know what I'm talking about. I could just stop right here. We could just go and have lunch. I just feel like right there, we could just go have lunch. I could just meditate on that. I'm like, Lord, you talking to me? What? I've just invited you into my prayer closet. Selah. But God is a very good God, and he's far more interested in his goodness being released than our carnal pleasures being met. Because these things won't endure. They won't make it through the fire at the end of time. They don't glorify him. And in the end, they won't bring us the health, the hope, the healing, the love that we so desperately desire. Where's Emmanuel at? How you doing, Emmanuel? Stand up for me. I like prophesying over you. Stand up. Can I tell you why? I'm going to tell you why. Stand up. How are you feeling today? You feeling encouraged? Yeah? I feel like you're lying, but that's okay. You're over there worshiping, right? I like being near you when you're worshiping because how do I say this without sounding weird? I probably passed that a long time ago. I like hanging out with your angel. You have a really cool angel. You've been lied to, and you think that what you think matters, and you are, the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. Have you noticed that? Jesus said that. I didn't just make that up. That's not just some obscure scripture. Jesus said that. He didn't say the bold shall. He didn't say the confident shall. He said the meek. The meek. And don't confuse humility with being less. You know, and God has really created you to just have faith in him and not yourself. And that's a combination that's just going to bring miracles. Just don't trust in yourself. That's fine. Trust in God. You don't even have to trust in God in you. Just trust in God. You have this angel. Your angel is kind of cool because, gosh, I'm going to say this out loud. You got the kind of angel that punches through walls. That's just when I saw him. I was just like, man, you punch through walls, don't you? And you don't have to because it's going to be like a sneak attack on people. So you just stay meek. You just stay meek and people lower their guards and then the angel punches them in the mouth and they get free. And I'm like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. That rocked my world right there. And And so if you have, you really can't escape God even if you wanted to. And so if you have to be, if you have to be depressed to stay meek, God will let you stay depressed. But he'd rather you just be meek. So don't wait for your feelings to shift. Your feelings will lie to you. All right? Let the truth minister to you. Amen? I hope that made some sense. I don't know, meditate on that or something. I think that's a good word. I like it. I think it was good. All right, you guys in 1 John yet? I feel the presence of God. You feel the presence of God in the room? I'm going to try to get through this quickly. I'm going on vacation in a couple weeks. Pretty excited about that. Pretty excited about that. Okay, 1 John, I should turn there. I've given up trying to be polished. I'm just going to be Carl. Thank you. All right, you guys ready? Pretty excited about today. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 4. I think we're going to start in 14 back there. Who heard Felipe translating for me earlier? He's anointed right there. Sorry, ladies, engaged. Anya will punch you in the throat. 14, we have, you guys ready? You guys there? She's Russian, folks. Ask a Ukrainian about them. Verse 14. In the throat. They don't call it Crimea for nothing. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I could just talk about that for a very long time. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son... Oh, Jesus. Wow. Give me 1 second here. Yeah, here we go. Woo, all right. I think Lillian's the only one who knows what I'm going through right now. Because I don't have a band carrying me here. Verse 15. We'll get back to that in a moment. All right. He's alive. All right, here we go. Verse 15. Might just want to lean into that. You guys doing okay over there? Yeah? He's here, huh? Ah. 14 seemed pretty anointed. Let's read that one again. Woo! We have seen. This could get ugly. Oh, please don't judge me right now. Hold on. I'm trying, I promise you, I really am. If today's the day you brought a family member, I don't know what to say. You know, you bring someone to church, like, God, just don't show up today, please. I want my auntie to get saved, just don't come to church. Come next week. Sorry. Special guest appearance, Holy Ghost. Okay, here we go. Woo! I just want to repent to all the singers I've ever prayed for while they're trying to sing. Try to find a spot that's not anointed. Not near Andres. I got people laid out up here. They're not helping. We have seen and
How you doing? William, what's going on? You're on fire? Yeah. How you doing, babe? You good? Oh, this is getting worse. I have no way I'm going to get up. Here we go. Let's just say this word. Just say, Jesus, I want to see you. I want to hear you. I'm sorry. Oh, Jesus. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put this right here. We have seen. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. Pour it out, Jesus. Pour it out, Lord. Pour it out, Lord. You just might want to take a little drink. Maybe that's what's happening right now. You just might want to take a deep, deep pull of the new wine. How you doing, Sarah? You good? You good, Gardy? You good? How you doing, Isabel? You good back there? You good? Yeah? Hey, Vanessa, how you doing? How we feeling? How you doing, Pastor? You good? You good? How you doing, Robin? Robin's here. Look. How you feeling, Felipe? Heartburning yet? There we go. All right, yeah. Lord just spoke to me. I'm feeling good. Here we go. Verse 14. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever wow. This is almost futile. Whoever confesses. Running out of time. All right. You might want to read that when you get home. It's good stuff in there. This Bible's got good stuff in it. All right. I want to briefly talk to you about three motivations in life as it relates to God and people. Three motivations. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. The three motivations. You ready? I'm going to keep it together here. This is going to be a very good message if you can hear through all the, yeah. Whew. I had a,
I had a religious spirit visit me this week in the form of a person asking questions. It's important to recognize people who are asking questions who aren't really asking questions. All they're really trying to do is sow doubt. You ever have people like that in your life? They say they're just asking questions, but all they really want to do is rob you of your faith, rob you of your confidence. That's all they really want to do. You remember back to the garden. The enemy never really told anybody what to do. All he had to do was erode their faith in God. How'd they do that? They had Adam and Eve question God's motivations. Essentially, they were questioning God's heart. Did God really say? Did he really say that? Say, wow, why would God not want me to have all wisdom? Oh, he must not be good. It's always the plan of the enemy in asking these questions for you to question God's heart. So I had this religious spirit visit me. I know, probably shouldn't talk about this stuff. I should just let my heart be healed and just leave it in the past. But, you know, for, all for instruction, right? So this came in the form of questions. And in the way the questions came, I wanted to have a conversation about manifestations. Well, where in the Bible is this? Where in the Bible is a car? Where in the Bible is driving a car? Well, I see. Philip was transported. So biblically, you shouldn't have drove here. You should have been transported if you were supposed to come. Right? Biblically, if we want to be biblical. I just want to be biblical. Well, then have you been transported? And then God didn't send you. Because he translated Philip, right? So if you weren't translated, this isn't biblical ministry. Well, that would be stupid, right? And God does stuff we don't understand. Why? Because we don't have all understanding. So by definition, he has to do things we won't understand. Otherwise, we would have all understanding, which I don't. And so how do we test things? How do we test what God is doing and what isn't God? And our apostle, John Arnott, at the beginning of the outpouring in Toronto, a lot of really weird things started to happen. Really weird things. Like super weird things. And John said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's you and what's not you. And I don't want what the stuff that's not you. And can I tell you the profound thing that God told him? He said, if you ever wonder, just ask me. And I'll tell you. He's like, okay. And so from that day forward, stuff would happen. He'd be like, God, is that you? And he'd be like, nope. All right, I'm going to shut that down. God, is that you? Yep. Okay, well, I guess I'm supposed to let that happen. Because God's working on levels that we don't understand. The goal is to manifest God's heart in our actions and in our lives. And what religion does is religion wants to come and set up a bunch of rules. Rules, as it turns out, we can understand. Religion says we can't do anything we don't understand. And if we don't understand it, we don't do it. Because what is most important is our understanding. It elevates the intellect above faith. Selah. And so I'm going to talk about three motivations. I feel like at this point I can even read the scripture that I had. You ready? Verse 14. All right, so there we go. 14, read that when you get home. It's good stuff, though. Thank you, Jesus. The first motivation that we see that religion brings, are you ready? The first motivation that religion brings is punishment. We do things out of fear of punishment. We do it because it's the right thing, and we don't want to do the wrong thing. And to many, this seems like it makes a lot of sense. I don't want to do the wrong thing, and the only way I can learn to do the wrong thing is to be punished if I do it. And I'm going to do things in a way that I won't be punished. Does that make sense? The motivation for not doing the wrong thing is called punishment. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. God has been speaking to this house this week. I've gotten several prophetic dreams sent to me, and they have a similar theme in them. And in them, people are being distracted. on the way on John's on God's journey, on our journey together as a house, and people are distracted by everything that you would think is good. Fear, I have come to notice, fear is a distraction from God's perfect love. Fear robs us of the love God wants us to flow in. Why? Fear makes us put up a guard. Love makes us stretch out our arms. Love says, come in. Look, there's nothing between me and you. Fear says, don't come too close. I suspect you might hurt me. Fear says, if I don't do the right thing, I'm going to be involved in more pain, and I don't want pain. And so I stay conscious of the pain so I don't do the wrong thing. Fear. When you operate in fear of other people, the enemy wants to distract you from God's love. You see someone who's sick, why don't you pray for them? It's not because you don't care if they get healed or not. Because you're scared you're going to be rejected. Fear of man is the greatest fear God has. I mean, the enemy has. Why? When the people of God are united, there's nothing that can stop them. You understand there's nothing that can stop the church of Jesus Christ when they're united. You understand that? You understand there's no power on earth or the depth below or in heaven above that can stop the church of Jesus Christ when it's united? You know that? When we're in unity, there's nothing that can stop us. There's absolutely nothing that can stop us. All the enemy can do is divide us. He can't stop us. All he can do is divide us. How does he divide us? Fear. Fear. Well, if they get ahead, then I won't be able to get ahead. Ah, I better not support them too much. Because if they get ahead, I'll be behind and, you know, I'll be punished for helping them. Oh, if I let them into my life, they might hurt me. Uh-huh, and then what? Then what happens? Then I'll hurt. Uh-huh, and then what? I don't know. Well, how about you give it a shot? No, because I'm scared of what? Them hurting me. Yeah, and what happens when they hurt you? I don't know, but it's scary, and I don't want that to happen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not interested in a theology that centers around how other people view me. I'm not interested in a church life that's centered around, I'm just going to share my heart a little bit here. The Church of Jesus Christ focuses so much these days on doing the things that God is supposed to do and not focusing on the things that he told us to do. So much of the church is praying for their financial breakthrough, for their business breakthrough, their relational breakthrough, on God avenging them from people or keeping people from hurting them or making us successful. And I'm personally convinced that a good portion of the charismatic community is praying for revival just so that the pastor can feel like he's better than other pastors. We ask for revival in our church so the world can see how awesome we are. Like, where's that in Scripture? If revival comes here, we'll have miracles, then the world will see how awesome we are and they'll come. What? That's just not in Scripture. What is in Scripture that we freely love? You see, as we allow fear to dominate our relationships, then we're unable to be the healing presence that God wants us to be. I make fun of gospel music, even though I listen to it a lot and I love it. But I mock it because so much of it centers around unforgiveness. About how I've been hurt and lied on and I've been down and out and cheated and abused and gossiped about. And I'm like, good Lord, have you heard of forgiveness? Like, that's what we're supposed to do. That's our job. Forgiveness is our job. Not God's job. That's our job to forgive people. It's God's job to convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's our job to love them. And so when we have a theology centered on us telling people what's wrong with them and protecting ourselves from other people, then we're cut off from our purpose on the earth. We've run out of purpose. We This is God's plan, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is it. There's no plan B. This is it. We talked about it in our morning meeting today. God is sovereignly visiting people in the Middle East. They're getting visions of Jesus. They're getting converted. And then they're being martyred. He doesn't do that here as much. Why? Because we're here. That's our job. We see biblically, God would visit people and convert them, and then he'd establish the church. That's what he did with Paul. He visited Paul, he converted him, and then people had to come and build him up. And then he started establishing the Church of Jesus Christ. That's our job, to establish the church. Jesus may light a fire, but we have to keep it going. And there's Christians here already. And it's our job to be healed enough to not constantly live in fear of punishment. That's our job. It's our job to deal with these things. Are you with me? Is this on?
Does this need to be louder? Or am I good?
Are you getting me here? That's our job. That's our job. And so what the enemy does is he gets us focused on fear of punishment. Because if we're punished, then we're somehow beneath other people and we're failing. And so we hide and lie our way through relationships to look like we're doing everything perfectly so we never get punished. We wear this fake mask, this Christian face, the, hey, brother, how you doing? No, I'm doing good, brother, how you doing? Oh, I'm overcomer in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to glory, hallelujah. And nobody's actually getting anywhere. Fear of punishment. My wife and I aren't allowed to punish each other. We're called to love one another. I've never been I've never officiated a wedding ceremony. And I said, now, do you, bride, promise to allow him to punish you whenever you've done something wrong? And do you, husband, promise to allow her to withdraw love and punishment and put restrictions when you're scared? No, but that's how we live. What do we say? No, honor, love, cherish. And 1 Corinthians 13 talks a lot about what love looks like. And love doesn't look like when I'm scared because you've done something wrong, I'm going to withhold love from you. I want you to fear my punishment, and I want that to keep you operating in love. It's a distraction. You got that? Number two. Number one, motivation is punishment. Number two, we're going to move closer to God's heart here. The second motivator of us operating in the anointing, operating in this kingdom, motivations of the heart in this world. Number two is people. Now, many people believe that while the spirit of religion motivates us with fear of punishment, a liberal theology centers not around God or punishment, but people. Our job is to make other people happy. Some people call this people-pleasing spirit, where we live our lives trying to make other people happy. I'll make God happy if I make other people happy. And my whole life purpose is to make people happy. And yes, God wants us to serve one another, but our motivating factor cannot be other people. My life purpose can't even be my wife or my kids. When our lives purpose surrounds people, it always gets perverted. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. See this. God ties the love for people based on the love for God. It doesn't surround serving people. It surrounds serving God. Are you with me? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you are a slave to people's opinions of you, if you feel like everybody else's desires are more important than yours, your heart needs to shift a little bit. It's good that you're not living out of your own self-serving purposes like those who fear punishment. Their whole life purpose surrounds them not being punished. Other people who serve people, their whole lives are surrounding making other people happy. And again, you've tried to fire at the right target, but you've missed the mark. I want to congratulate you for serving people. I want to ask you to shift your focus a little bit because you've been distracted. The third motivation that I want to talk about briefly, and then we're going to pray, is passion. Number one, punishment. Number two, people. Number three, passion. And we see here in 1 John 4:21, it says, "And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." Jesus didn't say, if you love people, you'll prove that you love God. He says that when we love God, it will naturally manifest in a love for other people. The Father sent Jesus to die on a cross so that people could be saved. Jesus came to serve people. Why? Because he loved his Father, and his Father's heart is all about people. It's all about people. The whole kingdom of God is people. There's nothing else in the kingdom of God on earth other than people. The only thing that you can sow into on earth that you can take with you to heaven are people. That's it. That's it. That's all there is. When you die, all your stuff will be gathered together and given away. Everything, all your fame, all your riches, all the, you know, whatever level that you're living to get onto, whatever video game is sucking the life out of your time, all of that will go away when you die. It'll all be gone. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, it'll all be gone. The shoes that you're spending too much money on, all the stuff, as soon as you die, it's all gone. It all is liquidated and it's gone. The only thing that remains are people. The only thing that will travel over to the other side are people and the lives that you invest in. Why? Because God is here for a harvest of people. God's heart is for people. I was studying in my meditations this week. God has me reading John 14 to the end, kind of over and over and over and over. And I'm working out, listening to it in my ear. Anybody here listen to audio Bible a lot? I love listening to it. You know, I like to play it like at speed 1.3 is what I like. A little like they read a little slow for me. Like I'm trying to do stuff here. Come on. I think I grew up around a lot of Cubans, you know. You talk faster. I have a friend who's in Joel Osteen's network, and he's like, "Man, I just love him." I was like, "Yeah, I can't listen to him though." He's like, "Oh, but I think it's theology." I was like, "No, it has nothing to do with theology. He talks too slow." Guy's from Texas. I'm like taking naps in between breaths. Like, come on, man. Let's just come on, get to it. What are we talking about here? I don't know what we're talking about. Talk faster, please. So if I could like get his podcast and just play it faster, it'd be perfect, you know? It's just too slow for me. I just need to, come on, let's get to it. So I listen to the audio Bible at like 1.3. Nice clip. Any faster, and I start chopping words. I'm sorry. So here we are in John. God, so good. All right, check this out. He says, does anybody know what God wants you to do? You want to know that? You ever just pray, God, what is it I supposed to do? What? I'm doing everything I know. What? Just give me some commandments. Oh, I got some commandments for you. Ready? 1 John 15:19. He says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Who wants to abide in his love? Who would like that? I just want to live there. I want to set a you know what I want? I want to find his love and I want to set up a hammock. A hammock. Doesn't that sound good? Maybe a little tarp over that, next to maybe a lake or a stream or a river with a kayak. Come on. Oceanside, hammock, air conditioner, because it's my vision. An air-conditioned beach scene with a hammock and a kayak and some dive gear. Come on. Some burgers roasting. This is getting better and better. To me, this is what his love looks like. I don't know what it looks like to you. I'm talking potato salad. Come on. It's all calorie-free, too. Not fat-free. Calorie-free. Heaven. Heaven. He did promise me to live off the fat of the land, yes? He didn't say the skinny of the land. So he says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide. I want to abide in his love. I want to live there, man. You know what I'm saying? I just want to percolate right there. He says, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So I get to live in his love with full joy. That sounds like a good deal right there, right? Because I'll be joyful in that hammock next to the ocean with my kayak and my burgers cooking. I'll be full of joy. How about you? Corey's little paradise there. He gets in the water. There's nothing but big fish. Big snappers with targets on them. Waiting to get speared. Some of you got a hammock set up in a shoe store. I don't know. You ready? You ready for how to abide in his love? You ready? Because he commanded us this. And he said, if you obey my commandment, here's what you get. You get to abide in my love and your joy will be full. You ready? Next verse. Verse 12. We're in John 15:12. For those of you who bring a Bible. It says, this is my commandment. Are you ready? Are you ready? That you love one another. That you love one another just as I have loved you. It's like, wow, how did you love me? You know, he just happens to say it. Greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And so, this fear of punishment and this people-pleasing spirit, this either spirit of judgmental religion or this liberal theology that says everything's okay as long as you're making people happy, both things are distractions from what God really wants us to do. God wants us to have a healed heart. If it's hard for you to love, it's not your fault. You need to get your heart healed. You need to allow God to deal with some of these things in your heart that keep you suspicious of everybody around you, that keep you constantly seeing the worst in people, that keeps you constantly fearful of the next attack. I'm going to say this very mildly. Some of you are in bad relationships because you attract them. Somehow you have valued the ability to endure other people's wrath, and you're getting something out of that. Be healed. It's not real love. That's that Beauty and the Beast lie. You know, our kids, growing up, we didn't let them watch any Disney movies. Just none. They're all filled with magic, and we didn't like the message of any of them. As they're older and they can discern things, you know, you watch it, you know, it's a movie. Beauty and the Beast. I teach this all the time. What's the message of Beauty and the Beast? If you're a woman and you let a man abuse you long enough, he'll change. Anybody want your daughter growing up with that reality? Oh, he's mean to you now, but if you just love him, he'll change. No, if he repents, he'll change. And if that's a cycle you find yourself in, allow God to heal your heart. That's not Jesus. Amen? So what we see here is it's God's greatest desire is that we love one another. We're able to just function in a way that we love one another. This is a love that God is pouring out in people's heart. This is radical. This is, you have no power over me. I have power over me. You're yelling at me, but I'm not going to yell back because you don't have power over what I do. I do. This is, you're behaving badly, but I get to choose to behave well. This is, you're not nice, but I'm going to keep being nice. This is, if you don't want to treat me with respect, we just won't be in a relationship, and I'm okay with that. This is, I value me. If you don't value me, that's not my problem. That doesn't determine who I am. God wants us to have a love that we're able to show one another that absolutely heals hearts. It heals lives, and it spreads revival in South Florida. You see, God is coming in a mighty wave of revival. And he wants us to be satisfied with nothing but him. Nothing but him. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Nothing but him. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Kids cry. Big deal. You'll be satisfied with nothing but him. Don't be distracted. Come, Mike. God is healing hearts. And let me tell you what's going to happen this week. We're going to pray here in a moment. It is 12:15. I am going to release you by 12:20. No, I'm not. 12:25. I don't want to be a liar. I'll shoot for 12:15. At 12:20, I tell you can go. I'll be done by about 12:40. Hear me. Here's what's going to happen this week. God is going to touch your heart, and he's going to ignite your passions. It's God's greatest desire to move through your passions for other people. If you're learning guitar so that you can feel awesome about the fact that you can play guitar, repent. But if you feel like God is leading you to play guitar, figure out how he wants to use you to minister in guitar. You know what he may want to do? He just may want to show you that you can play guitar. Because he loves you. You guys hear me over the keyboard? God is going to work through your passions to reveal his glory and to reveal his love. This wasn't a polished message. This is the word of the Lord for this house. There's people who are very, very, very hurt in this house. And you don't recognize it, but your fears are hurting people. Hurt people hurt people. And when you are focused on protecting yourself, all you can do is push people away, and that hurts them. One more story. I was at a conference not too long ago at a church that has a real prophetic worship leader, not exactly a people person. And as all the people are kind of gathered, the worship leader is like sitting in the back of the stage by themselves. And someone tried to go greet them, you know, like, wow, you know, you're kind of a big name and, you know, you're awesome and whatever. And the person wasn't really nice in return. Because of that, it made it difficult for some people to worship God. If you don't allow your issues to get healed, you'll be a block for other people to worship God. You have to deal with this stuff because we have to reach this world for Jesus Christ. It is our job. You say, I want to be in ministry. Guess what? Everywhere you go, you are in ministry. When you work that out, then God will probably pay you to do it. That's how it works. It's not like you get paid and then you work it out. It just don't work that way. You're on the-job training right now. Well, I want to get paid to do it. Well, he's giving you air, giving you love. That was a pretty good payment. Are you with me? Is anybody feeling this? You feeling this, honey? Is this making sense? God is working these things out in our house. And so this week, I'm praying right now. And those of you with discernment know what's happening right now, but there is impartation happening right now. I'm speaking this, and it's permeating hearts. And there's people in your heart is beginning to glow within your chest. Your heart is beginning to get strangely warmed, as John Wesley called it. Because his spirit right now is awakening things on the inside of you. You see, South Florida needs to hear about Jesus. And it's our job to do that. I'm going to make it really easy for you. We have invitation cards. Make it your purpose to hand those things out during the week. And when you're no longer scared to do that, God will move you on to actually witnessing to people, and it won't be scary. And then, at some point, you will seek to do it because the Holy Spirit will be there. And that passion of Jesus will be alive in your heart as you're doing the will of the Father. And dare I say, at that moment, you'll learn how to abide in his love. The way you abide in the love of God, are you ready for this? The way you abide in the love of God is to flow in the love of God. See, it's like a river, and you got to get in it. You can't get on the sideline and say, I want to be in the river, but I don't want to get wet. We got a lot of Christians who want to be in the river, but not get wet. I stay in the water long enough, I come out, my fingers are all looking like prunes. All I can smell is salt water. It's in my ear. I'm getting permeated by it. My skin is absorbing it. And he called it the river for a reason. We get baptized in this river, saying, listen, I'm dying just like Jesus in his will. I'm going down into the river where he gets to carry me wherever he wants. And as we don't allow our heart to get healed, it's like a blockage. Let me tell you a vision I had during worship. I wasn't going to share this, but I think I will. I saw a river and I saw a dam. A dam. What'd the fish say when he swam into a wall? Dam. There was a dam. Right? And I saw the rain was coming down to this dam. And behind the dam, there was all this stuff. And it was good stuff. Good stuff, Mike. Good stuff. Behind the dam. Are you ready for this? Are you listening? You're not distracted, are you? I'm a little drunk in the Holy Ghost. I can't lie to you right now. When I get tired or drunk in the Holy Ghost, I get a little loopy. And so behind this dam was good stuff, like houses and callings. And I saw as we yielded to the Spirit, the dam would begin to crack. And the yielding looked like forgiveness. It looked like making ourselves lower. It looked like serving people. It looked like laying our lives down for Jesus. God has shown me in this house, we're all equal before God, but there are all-stars. And what the world calls an all-star is not what heaven calls an all-star. And Jesus is looking for people who will lay their lives down without any earthly reward. We went to, my daughter had a cheerleading camp. And at the end, they were like, let's applaud the people. I applaud the kids. Yeah, you guys did awesome. Let's applaud their coaches. Yeah, let's applaud their coaches. Let's applaud the people who threw the camp. I'm like, I already paid them. If you wanted to applaud, you shouldn't have taken money. You already got your reward. Applaud you for doing what I paid you to do. I said to my wife, they shouldn't have taken money. They want a reward, you know, do it for free. I'd be more than happy to applaud you. Right? I never once went to McDonald's and said, thank you for making this hamburger. You guys, oh my gosh. Can't believe you had this ready for me. You know, I paid you for it. It says pickles on it. I don't want pickles. You give it to me for free, I'd be like, man, I don't even like pickles, but I'm going to eat it. Thank you. But I paid you. You want to pause, put a second patty on there. You know what I'm saying? Drunk in the Holy Ghost, honey. Give me a second here. Oh, I got 1 minute not to be a liar. Hold on. There's people in this house, you're serving God in a radical way, and you're getting absolutely nothing for it. Because you have reward in heaven. God has shown me this. How long will you hold out without reward on earth? How long can you hold out without reward on earth? It's significant. Does that make sense to you? It is significant. There's people in this house who are storing up treasures. And I'm here to let you know, the Bible says, when you give up these things for Him, you're going to reap in heaven and on earth. But let Him bring it to you. Don't demand payment. That's a good word right there, honey. You hear that? That's a good word. So I saw this dam breaking as people yielded to Jesus. And all these things that they had been crying for was coming in the river.